of marrying and talking about fitness and finances, right? I don't think we often think about fitness being an actual business. When you mentioned you have a podcast, and I'm like, well, how do I talk about fitness and money and finances?
One of the things that you pointed out that I think a lot of people don't consider is, so like I talk a lot on the podcast about intentionality and a lot about don't just randomly fall into things. However, on the same token with intentionality, sometimes comes that you are given opportunities and you intentionally step into them. And maybe your reasoning or your thought process is a little bit different in that moment, right? Like you stepped into the fitness space, not necessarily because you thought that that's what you wanted to do with the rest of your life. You stepped into the fitness space because you saw an opportunity to bridge a gap where you wanted to go on the spring break trip, right? Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Financial Mastery Simplified. I am your host, Jacqueline, or Jax Kreider. And today we have Miss Savita on with us. She is an expert in all the things wellness, fitness space. And so I'm super excited to have her on today. So welcome, Savita. Tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and we're excited to be on the podcast today.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm super pumped to be here. I think I'll start with the thing that excited me when you and I met at a chamber event, is kind of marrying and talking about fitness and finances, right? I don't think we often think about fitness being an actual business and operating and running like a business. And so that is what I find a lot of times with my clients is that they miss, that's like the missing component. That's the part that's missing, is understanding that, like, yes, fitness can be a stress reliever. It can be an outlet for a lot of people. But when you own that business and you're working that business, if you're a part of that business, whether you are a sales associate or the GM or the, you know, an investor, there's a whole other side of that business that doesn't often get talked about. So just being able to come and talk to that, speak on that is, that was my kind of like light bulb moment, when you mentioned you have a podcast, and I'm like, well, how do I talk about fitness and money and finances? But, really you talk about it like you do anything else.
So. I was going to say, people don't realize that almost everything does intersect, and it cracks me up when I approach people or I have conversation and I say, hey, you know, you could come be a guest on my podcast. And they're like, oh, but I don't deal in money. And I said, oh, cool. Like, do you spend it? Does it intersect with what you do for a living? Yeah. You know, et cetera, et cetera. And they're like, well, yeah. I'm like, okay, then you do have an opinion about money. You have thoughts about money, all of the things. Tell us a little bit about your background. Like, I know fitness really lights you up, kind of like how finances lights me up. So talk a little bit about, you know, how you even got into fitness space and how that kind of came about, I guess.
Okay. So funny story. I never wanted to be in fitness. I, you know, played sports. I did things. I danced, cheer, gymnastics, all that growing up, track. So like I was always an active kid growing up, always played sports. Went to college and decided I wanted to take a trip for spring break that my parents did not want to pay for. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to do it myself. I'll just fund it myself. And, you know, I'm also that person that, you know, if you tell me I can't do something, I'm literally going, like, every ounce of spite in me is going to rise up to prove you wrong. And so I was, you know, off season, I was training at this private gym, during the summer, and had been there through my freshman year, both on and off season training and working out. And I really connected with a couple of the trainers and instructors there. They were some of my favorites. They led some of my favorite classes. Long story short, one of them was getting ready to go on his honeymoon. And he said, hey, Savita, you like teach my class for me. Like, and I'm like, what? He's like, no, it's easy. And you know, I'm going to age myself a little bit. This was like the Les Mills era. So everything, if you know anything about Les Mills, already choreographed, already done for you. You just had to like practice, show up, perfect it, make it your own. So we go back and forth and I'm like, I am not going to do this. I don't know the first thing about fitness. He goes, well, you played sports. You're an athlete. Like it's fine. It's fine. You like, you know, the routine, it'll be fine. You'll, you know, whatever. So then he hit, and I'm like, no. So then he hits me with the, oh, but it's like $50 a class. And I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, okay. And you tell a 19-year-old college student, like, they're going to get paid $50 an hour to like literally work out. And I'm like doing the math in my head. And I'm like, all right, I'm going on this spring break trip.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to figure out how many classes I got to do to get me to my yeah. goal.
And so I do the math. And I'm like, okay, if I do this many classes and I do this, and I'm like, after taxes, and I'm like, okay, I'm going on spring break, man. I'm like, done. So I do it. The 2 weeks pass and the owner pulls me aside one day as I'm leaving. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to get kicked out. Cause I keep in mind at this point, I have no certification. I really have no experience other than just taking these classes and like no insurance. And I'm probably in violating every rule in the book, but he pulls me aside and he says, hey, we've got some member feedback. They love it. They love it. So, and I'm like, okay. And he said, now I'm going to give you the negative. He said, you literally did this the wrong way. Like you need to be certified. You need like all these things. And I'm like, yes. And I'm like, please don't kick me out of here and tell my coach, like, this is going to be so awful. Like, this is going to be like, whatever. My parents are going to find out all this. So, yeah, he made me an offer that literally changed the entire trajectory of my life. Even if I didn't know it in that moment, because he offered to pay for my certification. And at the time, NASM was, I think, sitting around somewhere between like $1,200 to $1,500 to get certified. He made me an offer. He said, I'll pay for your certification. And I said, well, what's the catch? And he said, well, the catch is you still got another 4 years of eligibility with school, with sports. And so he said, work for me there. He said, I'll still pay you. And when you're done, when you graduate with your undergrad, we'll call it even. And I said, okay, done. And so what that did was set me up on this path that I didn't even know that I wanted, that I didn't even know would land me where I am now. And it's been 23 years. I mean, this has been more than half my life, right? That I've been in this business. And so, from that, finished that, after graduate school, decided to open my own, you know, business. I had a business partner. I used to compete with his wife and that's how, you know, we initially met. And so, he had somebody that backed out and said, hey, I need another, you know, I need a business partner. I need a counterpart. Are you interested? And I'm like, I don't know the first thing about business. I have a degree in marketing. I don't even know, like, you know, but I knew certain aspects of business. I just didn't know all of it. And so I took a leap. I took, you know, money out of savings and money that I would have paid for school had I not had a full ride. And so, yeah, I made an investment in myself and that business and it paid off. I mean, and I've, you know, from that time on, I've shifted from being an owner, bought myself out, decided to get into the consulting space after a while and have been consulting and working for different brands like Orange Theory, private brands, one-off brands. I've worked with Equinox, Lifetime, and just really just honed in on my skill set and perfected my craft and found a way to marry, you know, my degree and what I think was an underlying passion that I didn't really know or tap into. Because, you know, as a college student, I didn't know then what opportunities would be available in fitness. I thought it was just you're either going to be a trainer or a group fitness instructor, or you're going to, you know, be the GM. Those were like the three job offers. I had no idea that, you know, there were jobs in marketing and sales and operations that were available. So just learning and working in different faucets, kind of led me where I am today.
Well, and I think, you know, one of the things that you pointed out that I think a lot of people don't consider is, so like I talk a lot on the podcast about intentionality and a lot about, you know, don't just, you know, randomly fall into things. However, on the same token with intentionality, sometimes comes that you are given opportunities and you intentionally step into them. And maybe your reasoning or your thought process is a little bit different in that moment, right? Like you stepped into the fitness space, not necessarily because you thought that that's what you wanted to do with the rest of your life. You stepped into the fitness space because you saw an opportunity to bridge a gap where you wanted to go on the spring break trip, right? Yeah. But then the intentionality stayed when you kind of realized, oh, wow, okay, well, maybe this is a good place for me to be, right? And so sometimes I think people think intentionality means that you have to have your life planned out, that you need to like be 18 years old and you need to say, okay, great, I'm going to go get this degree and then I'm going to go do this job and then I'm going to get married at this stage and I'm going to have, you know, 2.5 children or whatever and the white picket fence. And I think that's what they mistake intentionality and, you know, financial independence, like, you know, stepping into all that space as that. And instead, it's a lot more about alignment. And when things are presented to you, you saying yes because they're in alignment with what you're looking for and in the stage of your life? Or you saying no because you're like, well, maybe this isn't where we're supposed to be. Or for instance, let's talk before we pushed record on this episode, we were talking a little bit about your personal situation. So for those of you who obviously don't know, Davida and I, when we met, she worked for a different company and was recently laid off. Now, nothing wrong with that company. Most people, again, think that a lot of times when companies go through this process, that this is a personal situation. They don't like you or you didn't do your job well enough. In Davida's situation, it's 100% not that. She is absolutely an expert in her space. It's just a financial decision, right? I mean, the company she's working for maybe just needed to reassess what their financial overall picture was. And unfortunately, that meant that they had to make some hard decisions like some layoffs. And that is reality. And with that situation is now bridging a new financial opportunity for you. So let's talk about that for a minute. What are you now launching and just saying, hey, you know what? Life, and I'm going to still living with intention and I'm going to just go step into my power and step into this new alignment, if you will.
Yeah. So basically I, you know, a big part of my role, and I think the past, I'd say at least 5 to 7 years has been, in just a business development role or a territory development role. Even when I moved to Texas, I moved with a different company, with the intent of, instead of supporting the broader network of studios, I was going to focus on the Texas market in this region, because Dallas, for, you know, those that don't know, if you're listening outside of the DFW market, like Dallas is a very saturated market. It's a very competitive market.
For sure.
And it is hard for companies that are outside of this, I'll say bubble for lack of better terms. And I don't mean that in a negative way, but it's hard for companies that are on the outside to come in and sort of infiltrate this market with any sort of ease. There's no ease about it, right? You have to be very intentional
for sure.
To your point about how you, you know, enter this market, making sure that, you know, everything is in alignment, making sure that you have the right processes in place, systems in place. And a lot of this is relationship building. And so, you know, in the 2 years that I've been in Dallas, I've built some really, really, really strong partnerships with other businesses, other entrepreneurs. And, you know, when this happened, I just thought like, man, I have all these things that are planned out through the end of this year, even into next year. And in some respects, like a lot of these, you know, these partners were relying on those events, those connections to sort of fuel their business. And for me, that was the hardest part. I was like, you know, I can find another job, no big deal. But for me, it was anytime that I'm in a situation where someone is reliant on me for anything, whether that be personal, professional, whatever, it's always a gut punch to me when I can't deliver on that. And
for
so,
sure.
You know, I immediately, I think within 24, 48 hours, I was on the phone with my mentors, my business advisors, and I was like, hey, I have this idea. How do I continue to connect and keep these relationships going, but not have it rely on being attached to a certain business or a certain brand?
For sure.
Because the one thing that I was looking for was the freedom to work with whoever I wanted to, whoever wanted to work with me, right? And I'm very big, and you and I talked about this beforehand, was I'm very big on, you know, God putting the right people in front of me and positioning me in that same way.
For sure.
And making sure that, you know, I do believe that, you know, the people that are supposed to find you and vice versa. And the rooms that you're supposed to enter, you enter and you do it at the right time. And so, you know, we worked everything out. I went like literally head first. I'm a big proponent of messy action. So we went in head first and developed what is WellCo, which is short for Wellness Collective. So this is basically a networking platform for small businesses, entrepreneurs to connect. Essentially, I go in and I keep those connections with the gyms and studios and different businesses. I connect them and set them up to go in and promote and deliver their business to those clients and to those members.
I love that. Well, and I think something that I struggled for a lot of years, because I myself, I think misintended intention, right, for control. for, hey, you know, we do need to face up and be perfect all the time. We do need everything to look a certain way. We do, you know, and the truth is that first of all, life doesn't operate that way. Right. There are so many variables. There are so many things that we cannot control. I think a lot of America right now, as America's in flux, right? Whether you love or hate who's in office, whether you love or hate what happened during COVID or any of those things, right? The last 5 years, we've been heavily in flux with just a lot of aspects, and financial systems have been in flux. I mean, I've been in the mortgage industry for, gosh, well over 20 years. I don't think I've ever seen so much upheaval and turmoil just in the respect of us not having a clear understanding of like what is going on and how things are going to shake out and when they shake out. And so I think that uncertainty and that level of uncomfortability really kind of rocks people to their core. But the truth is being intentional and being in alignment doesn't mean that everything is perfect. It doesn't mean that everything is going to face up according to a perfectly controlled and laid out plan. Like, that isn't how it goes. I mean, if the last 2 years, my dad and I were having a conversation about how I, my whole life, have struggled with control. And I was like, well, if I had any illusion that I had control over my life, the last 2 years would prove that that is not correct.
Same.
Because same. I have not been doing anything that necessarily I expected or thought that would be happening, right? If you would have told me probably 2-3 years ago, oh, by the way, you're going to be on stages, you're going to be, you know, a multi-bestselling author, you're going to do all of these things, I would have been like, ha, I don't even want to be on camera. What are you talking about? There's no way that I'm going to step into these spaces. But the truth is that sometimes, you're right, it's messy action. Like, something happens and it upheaves your life, and you now have to just continue to stay true to yourself, stay true to alignment, stay true to intention, stay true to what, you know, you're being asked of, right? God or whatever religious, I guess, being you believe in. You and I are on the same page on what we believe in, but maybe not everybody believes in that, but you know, God, the universe, whatever that looks like, and step in, because the right things are going to plug in, but you have to be looking for them, right? I talk about part of the reason that we fail a lot financially is because of the way that our RAS is created. So RAS is a reticular activating system. I'm not sure familiar if you're familiar with what that is, but basically it is what is scanning for things. So it's trained actually a scan for threat. And so that's why you're always looking, and you most people are seeing threats all the time, but you can retrain it and you can look for abundance. You can look for, like you said, like relationships, stepping into rooms that you're supposed to be a part of. But you have to be looking for that, right? Like, you can see, like, you could see your layoff is like, oh my gosh, this is the end of my life. And like, I moved cross country for this company. I upheaved everything. And now here I am. And of no fault of my own, I'm without a job. And that could be a reality. And you could be sitting in that. And there's nothing wrong necessarily inherently with those feelings for a minute, right? Like, I guarantee you at some point that waved over you a little bit, like,
yeah,
what the absolute hell? Yeah. Right? Like, what? But when the dust settles, what are we searching for, right? Like, where are we looking? You are looking for opportunity. You are seeing some alignment and some things you were already considering doing, right? That you were already, and you just said, okay, great, I'm just going to take some messy action. And I love that, because I think more than anything, people who are listening need to know that, because it's happening a lot right now. I'm constantly seeing in moms groups, I got laid off. Our income got cut or whatever, right? Something horrific in their financial realm and world is happening, and they're just allowing it to just decimate their life, as opposed to realizing that, yes, it is probably going to be a setback, but it doesn't have to be. And it could be a pathway to something way greater than you could ever possibly imagine.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsors.
Imagine having the power to control your financial destiny, no matter where you start. Welcome to the Financial Mastery Simplified course and resource platform, where financial education is tailored to your unique journey. We cover everything you need, from basic budgeting and saving strategies to advanced investing and retirement planning. Learn at your own pace with lessons that match your level of experience. Whether you're a beginner or looking to enhance your financial knowledge, join our community of learners and benefit from shared insights and expert guidance. The Financial Mastery Simplified Course and Resource Platform equips you with the skills and confidence to take charge of your financial future. Ready to master your finances? Enroll in our courses today at the Financial Mastery Simplified Course and Resource Platform. Start your path to financial independence now.
Visit us at fms.tips and fms.college for more information.
Hello, and welcome to PBJ Mortgage, where your homeownership dreams become reality. Today, we want to share why choosing PBJ Mortgage is the right choice for your home financing needs. At PBJ Mortgage, we're built on a foundation of values that drive us every day. Our commitment to educate, empathize, and empower our clients sets us apart in the mortgage industry. Our clients are at the heart of everything we do, and their success stories speak volumes. With years of experience, our team possesses in-depth knowledge of the mortgage programs, ensuring you receive expert guidance and the best possible rates. We offer a diverse range of loan options to suit your unique needs, including conventional, FHA, VA, and more. No matter your situation, we've got a solution. At PBJ Mortgage, we pride ourselves on providing personalized service. Our dedicated loan officers are here to guide you every step of the way, making the process as smooth as making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. We understand that time is of the essence, which is why we've streamlined our processes for efficiency and convenience. Transparency and clear communication are paramount. You'll always know where you stand throughout your mortgage journey. Reach out to us today to set up a call to discover your options. If you're ready to make your home ownership dreams a reality, contact PBJ Mortgage today. Let us empower you during this exciting journey. Phone number 4-693-733-107, www.pbjteam.com. Visit our website or give us a call to get started. We look forward to helping you secure your future home. PBJ Mortgage, where home begins.
Thanks for your patience.
I mean, there's pivotal moments like that that I can think back on that really shifted my focus and attention to where it needed to be, right? And the thing that, you know, that I was supposed to do and that I've, you know, been kind of called in position, not kind of, just been called in position to do.
For sure.
You know, if you ask my grandmother, she would say, I remember I was 14 and she's like, oh, you're going to be a teacher. And I'm like, no, I'm not. You know, and no shade to educators. But for me, I was just like, I had a very singular one track, you know, thought process around what teacher, what that term meant and what it looked like. Right. And I was thinking,
for sure,
I don't want to go in and teach a bunch of third graders. Like, that's just not my, and again, like I grew up in a house full of educators. Like, my grandmother had a doctorate in education and she like did amazing things for, you know, community, for the, you know, school board, for things like that. But I, like, for me, I was just like, that's not what I want to do. Like, if you had told me, honestly, in college, even in that moment of, you know, that studio owner saying, hey, I'm going to pay for your certification, he had no idea what he was investing in, right? It's just that he saw something in me and decided he was going to plant a seed. Now, whether or not that, you know, took root or developed into anything that I'm doing now, he didn't know that, but it was an investment and it was a risk that he was willing to take in me. And, you know, I think about moments like that where it's like, you have to take a risk and you have to, you know, be open. Are all risk great? No, they're not. But that's what makes them risk, right? It's like, you don't know what the outcome is going to be. I don't know what the outcome is going to be with this new business venture, right? But I know enough about myself. I know enough about my work ethic and what I'm capable of doing. And I trust myself and believe in myself enough to at least give it a shot. And if it fails, at least I can look back and say, you know what, I tried it. Maybe I'll get to a point where I'd have to go back and like pivot and tweak some things. But, you know, I think about like all of the big opportunities I had came on the heels of some sort of shift or some sort of upheaval that I wasn't expecting. And to your point, life doesn't work and say, are you ready for this upheaval yet? Are you ready for this thing to like completely disrupt your entire life? Like life doesn't care. It doesn't care. They're like, it's usually when you think in your mind that you're like, oh my God, thing is great. Like everything's aligned. My relationship, my business, my this. And then that's when life's like, whoop, curveball. Here we go. Let's 100%. Shake some stuff up.
Well, and you mentioned risk. And so this is very interesting because I think the concept of risk is one that people don't really think about. In my personal opinion, everything is risk, right? Action or inaction. Either way, you are actually taking risk, right? Like right. One doesn't feel like risk, but there is the yin and the yang to literally every decision you make. And I talk to my girls about this all the time because the truth is that we get to make choices and we get to have consequences of those choices, and the consequences are good or bad. Potentially both, just depending on like what choice it is we're making. And so when people talk about risk, they a lot of times assess it with this negative connotation, like, oof, taking a risk. But the truth is that you are dealing in risk all the time, right? And it's because we're human and we're not perfect and we're interacting and intersecting with all of these other people all the time. And so that is in turn where risk comes into play. I mean, it's like relational risk, right? So you start dating somebody, you're taking a risk that you could fall in love with them, and you're taking a risk that they're going to be the person you thought or they faced up to be, right? That the decisions that you made. You're also taking the risk that they could be a complete loser and this was the worst relationship you ever ended up in, right? I mean,
right.
And so it's like when I got divorced, people were surprised that I didn't just, you know, crucify him because of some of the crazy, horrible things that had happened in our relationship. And I said, look, I don't think that the decision was a bad one. Maybe I didn't make it as much eyes wide open as I should have. Maybe, you know, I should have seen some of the different things or whatever. But like me beating myself up about a decision that was made is like not gonna help. And yeah. I took a risk, and the risk unfortunately didn't pay off in the way that I hoped, right. But that is life. And so it's just an interesting intersect. And so, financial risk, I mean, people say right now, because like, and I think I shared briefly with you the crazy situation with my house that has created giant financial strain in my life at this moment. And so a lot of people in my world and in my space are like, well, you guys took a bad risk. No, truthfully, we did not take a bad risk. We took a very knowing risk, a calculated risk. Did some things happen in life that kind of blew up and created turmoil in this entire situation? Absolutely. But who in the world of all the things would have thought that this is the way that this would have played out, right? And so when it comes to financial mastery or anything else, you just have to understand that it really is choose your hard, right? Yeah. Like it's choose your hard, and you can call that choose your hard. You can call it risk, whatever you want to call it. But the truth is that no matter what is happening in your life, there is pros and cons. And so I choose to step into the positive and like you said, trust in myself, control what I can control, which is me and my attitude and the way that I handle things. And so I love that the way that you're handling it is such, because I think so many people are experiencing what you're experiencing. And as opposed to saying, hey, I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to take this risk, I'm going to step into my own, I'm going to step into my power, I'm willing to take that bet, they're allowing this negative financial situation to shut them down and just destroy them. And I think that that's not the right place.
Yeah. I mean, I think like, you know, I talk to my spouse about this all the time. Like he and I are always, you know, we have these very real and very raw conversations about like relationships and like if things don't, to your point, if they don't work out or, you know, and a lot of people will look at that and say like, oh, I just wasted like all this. I mean, I could look at like my transition into Texas has not been easy. I mean, I'm still waiting for like shit to settle and like balance out. But, you know, I could easily look back and there have been moments when I've looked back in frustration and be like, why did I pick up my life and move halfway across the country away from my family? Like to your point, I took a risk, right? Because the reward for me was getting to do something and step into something that I really wanted to, you know, focus in on, and shift into in a bigger capacity. You know, we can look at that, whether it be business or personal relationships, and say like, okay, like if the marriage doesn't work out, the relationship doesn't work out, God, I wasted 5 years, I wasted 10 years. I'm like, you could look at that and say that, or the unpopular opinion is to say, like, how much did I grow in those 10 years? What did I learn about myself in those 10 years? What did I learn about that person in those 10 years, right? You can always find a negative, right? And even in my current situation, like, I can find all the negatives, right? I could go back and be like, God, I knew, like, I shouldn't have moved here. This was, you know, like, I can go down that rabbit hole, or I can just say, you know what, shit happens. I've worked with businesses, I've worked with companies and studios that, you know, are facing situations like this, and I understand, right? Does it suck? Yes, it does not. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, light and love, and this is the great. No, it's not. It sucks. And especially to your point right now, when there's so much uncertainty in the job market, in the financial market, like, it sucks. But at the same time, I have to go back to my belief system and just really tap into, like, my faith and just say, okay, everything works out for a reason. Everything happens for a reason. I've been here before. I've been in uncomfortable situations before, and I've been okay, right? It may not have worked out the way that I wanted to. It may not have, you know, happened in the quote unquote perfect time, but, like, it's been fine, right? I've been fine. Will I have to make some adjustments? Yes. Right. But there's an easy way to say, like, it's all negative, or I can look back and say, well, here's what I learned from this. Here's how I can better prepare myself, you know, as I step into this next thing.
For sure. Well, and like you said, I mean, what I'm hearing you say is that you are choosing to walk down the path, you know, with your intentionality and alignment, and you're not going to allow it to destroy, right? Like, the things that you've built. And I think that is where people think is, again, they're so focused on living a blueprint that somebody created for them or said they should live their life by, right? Like, here's the checklist, and it's the only checklist that you should live your life by. And whether that's society that created it for you, or your friends, or your family, or whoever it is, the truth is that none of them are living your life, and none of them know what your intention is and what your alignment should be, or what that looks like. Like, it absolutely drives me completely batty, because I'm in 8 million different groups, moms groups, all kinds of groups, whatever. And somebody will ask for some advice, and everybody wants to give their two cents exactly how they should handle the situation. And I'm always stepping back and saying to them, hey, first of all, we don't know all the facts. Like, we have no idea. Like, you gave us this little bitty fact pattern, and that's fine. Like, you did give us some information, but I mean, that's not nearly enough to be able to help you make, like, a life-altering decision. Because that's usually what they're asking, right? Right. And moms groups are asking life-altering decisions. Like, should I break up with this person? Should I quit this job? And I want to be like, you're asking random strangers, first of all. And then number two, you already contain the power within yourself to know what is right. It already exists within you, right? Like, that already is right there. And so you can choose to outsource your power, to ask everybody else's opinion. And I'm not saying getting opinions or perspective is wrong, right? Like, there's some real power in that. I mean, that's why I created this podcast, because I want other people's opinions and thought processes and what they've experienced and what they've gone through. But asking everybody else to make the decisions for you is a mistake.
Yeah.
You hold that ability and that power anyway, whether it be financial or otherwise. It doesn't matter, right? And you don't believe that. I know you don't, because I have had so many people that I get in conversations with, and I'm like, man, you are powerful beyond measure. Like, how can you not see it? Because that is actually my unique gift, is I see potential and I see what you can be if you just choose to step into yourself. And I know that that exists. And so I applaud you for not only going the distance on, like, not allowing it to shut you down, which, like I said, I'm sure there's moments, because I talk all the time about, there's literally moments I'm sitting in the car bawling my eyes out, like, why, God, did you put this on my shoulders? I don't really understand it. It does not feel nice. I do not like it. But I mean, again, the person, if you were to look back at the person I was 2 years ago to the person that I am now, that uncomfortableness has stretched me and has allowed me to help other people, has allowed me to have more of a voice and speak into some of the uncomfortable things that other people are experiencing and going through. And I think that intersect, and I think this goes to fitness too, right? Like, all of these things, they are all intersecting as one. And when you kind of shut that down and say, oh no, you know, this doesn't fit in the checklist, it's going to set you up for failure, baby. I'm just saying.
I mean, I'm like you, like, I've had my, I call them bathroom floor moments, which is like, you know,
ugly nobody, crying.
Like, the one place you're never going to sit, I don't care whose bathroom it is, I don't care how much you clean it. Like, nobody wants to have that bathroom floor moment where you're just like curled up in a fetal position, like bawling your eyes out and like, you know, having the ugly, like Halle Berry's at the Oscar cry. Like, nobody wants to do that. But yeah, sometimes you need that. And that's a, to me, that's a cleansing moment to have those. And that's a very honest, I think, emotion and thing to experience, because I mean, again, like, it's, nothing is perfect. Nothing is, we can have the best laid plan and life will just look and be like, oh, let me get in here and like really just start shaking some stuff up. And you've got to be able to navigate that. And you've got to be honest with yourself about, you know, how you're handling that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we didn't end up talking as much about fitness, although I will throw in that I think fitness specifically is a lot more tied to money than people think, because a lot of how you feel about yourself and in your body and that goes in again to mentality, which is super tied to money, right? Like how you're thinking and how you're operating. And all of that is at the intersect of, you know, are you exercising, whatever. And I know it because I'm a horrible exerciser. I am not the person, I'm very sedentary in this respect. And sometimes I have to tell myself, get up, get off of your desk, go take a walk. Right? Go, you know, go do that thing or whatever. And as you've proven, a lot of times people don't think that you can make money or that that's even a thing in fitness. And there's plenty of money to be made there.
Oh, listen, I think about it and I always, you know, I'm like, God, at some point, like, I'm probably going to be in like blacklisted from the fitness world, but like for saying this, but like, it is because it's something that is a little controversial, but I will stand 10 toes down on this because I have like 20 plus years of experience that, you know, says and confirms this. Like, it's not said out loud and it's not spoken about enough, but I'm in an industry that, like, yes, there's money to be made, but you have to fight for that and you have to be in it for the long haul. It's not a quick fix. It's not a, like, I'm going to get in, cash in $100 million and like step out. Like, I'm in an industry that pays and often, you know, treats talent like it's a disposable commodity, right? They're paid, you know, per class, per session rate, that annually I think hovers around or under what, you know, what's considered a living wage, right? So I think if you take a living wage, depending on your region, you're looking at about 45 to 47. thousand a year, right? In many areas across the country. So, you know, you take that, you're also classifying that person as an I-9 employee, which means they don't qualify for healthcare or benefits. So, you know, and imagine the irony of being in a fitness or wellness company and not offering a standard, you know, for your team members, right? It's crazy, but you don't get sick days, you don't get FMLA or any access to the things that you need to actually live well, right? So you pay this, you know, kind of BS wage, you slap a non-compete in front of, they slap that in front of you and that kind of prohibits you from working anywhere else to make up the difference in pay, right? And so I know, you know, someone out there saying, oh, if it's so bad, then why do you do it? Well, the reality is that people that fill these roles are wired to serve. They're not wired to like make money. That's not their driving force. And yes, we're not naive and we don't think that money, you need money to survive and pay your bills, but for there's sure. something ingrained in us that just wants to see the people that are in front of us and around us to live better and become the best version of themselves, right? And even if that means putting our own needs and our own health aside, we're willing to do that, right? You know, money isn't the thing that motivates or drives us, but that doesn't mean that we don't want to earn a decent living. Right. And so, you know, I mentioned to you before, and I've spent the back half of my career, probably the last 5 or 7 years, working with not just coaches, but trainers and franchise owners as well. You know, the franchise space is blowing up. And we saw that with the onset of, I think, Orange Theory was really kind of the standard that took that franchise model and blew it up and kind of set the stage for every other, you know, brand that you see. But you know, it's educating them and consulting with them on how to build a team that will then allow you to build and scale your business in a way that is sustainable and that's built for longevity, not just the next 3 to 5 years, right? So no one, I mean, you think about it, no one goes into business to fail, right?
For sure.
You and I have had our own business. Like, we didn't go into this and saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to invest $400K into a business and franchise and say, well, you know what? I really hope this thing goes under in 2 years. I hope I ruin the livelihood of everyone on my team and under, you know, like no one does that, right?
So for sure.
To your point, everything intersects with money, right? Whether you're an I-9 or W-2, W-4, whatever the thing is, right? You go into this thinking like, I do need to make a living. I need to make an income. But in this particular space, in my space, like it's still something that I am trying to advocate for, especially when it comes to trainers and instructors, because it's a lot of time. And if you look at the time versus the payout, it doesn't always align.
For sure. Well, I mean, I think a lot of times people, again, when they are going through it or whatever, and this is where, again, I'm going to go back to intentionality and alignment, because what happens is a lot of people think that you can go in, and there are some industries like mine, when we have like refi booms or tons of purchases or whatever, you see a lot of people hop in to our space to try to make a quick buck. And you can kind of sort of do that for a short window of time. But the truth is again, with any industry, with anything, almost nothing is quick fix, right? Like, and if it is, you're going to make a little bit of money, but it's not going to be sustainable. So maybe you get, you know, your little bit of money. And if that's what you need to kind of go to the next bucket or whatever, so to speak, then okay, great. But as a general rule, I mean, any industry I've learned over the course of time isn't like quick fix. Right. There really is no such thing. There's ways to sort of spark and ignite you to get you down the path further quicker. Yeah. I would say that is true. And that might yield to more money quicker than it would have. But people going in believing that anything is just going to be like, oh, tomorrow I'm going to make, you know, $4,000 a month doing whatever. It's like, okay, sure. And if you are going to do that, then I guarantee you there's going to be fair bit of effort involved. People are going to be doing some things, right? Like that are going to be the case. And so I think it's super important to remember that in your space and finance, in fitness and finance, all of that, there are not only intersects, but also you need to understand that you should be living in alignment. Also, like I said, what I mainly want people to take away from this conversation is the fact that life, no matter what industry you're in, is going to force you to pivot. And when you're living in intentionality and alignment, not that you're not going to have what you described as bathroom, you know, floor moments, like, yes, of course, but you're going to still be able to stand back up, get back up and move down the path. If you're not living in alignment and intention, if you're not, you know, figuring out where you want to be and what you want this to look like, then, and you are just living with this blueprint, this checklist, right, that somebody has handed you, guess what? You're not going to know how to pivot. You're not going to believe in yourself. You're going to just crumble, and the bathroom floor is going to be the standard. It's going to be where you are all the time. And I don't think any of us want that for you, right? I mean, that's not what life is about. Anybody who cares about people doesn't want that, right? And so I first of all love this new thing that you're doing. And so if people want to be involved in that, right, like how do they reach out to you? How do they connect with you to make sure that we're getting them the right place?
So the easiest way to get in contact with me is shoot me an email. It's hello@wellnesscollectivedfw.com. So that's okay. The easiest way from there. Everything for me starts with a conversation. So from there, reach out to me, shoot me that email, and then we'll connect. We'll set up a time to meet either in person, or if it's more convenient, we can do over Zoom or over like a Google Meet. And then I just sit down and we have a conversation. I learn more about you, about your business, what it is that you're looking for. And we determine from there if it's a good fit.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for being our guest. I feel like maybe we should do another episode, but maybe in relation to some of this networking aspect and stuff that you're really going down, because I feel like relational networking, true relational networking, not holding your hand out and asking for something, is something that is missing a lot. Yeah. But we definitely appreciate you being on this episode, and we hope that this episode was helpful for you. We'll see you again on next week of another episode of Financial Mastery Simplified.